So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the impossible that has taken place, especially in the sense that no one really understood what the hour was. They knew it was imminent, and they knew something was happening. They knew the relativity of yourself to it, even as back in the olden days when you appeared in the form of a little child to inhabit that vessel. And now today we have the appearing, and people don't understand it. They're still looking for something else, and having missed the reality, there won't be something else except destruction, not because we ask it, not because we want it, but we know it's there because you said so, and the proof is already extant. So we thank you for your presence, and especially the part, Lord, now, the shout which is over concerning the given message. We believe that. If there's something more coming forth, the resurrection, we appreciate that also. And we don't turn anything aside, Lord, but we do know there is a shout, and also Brother Branham did tell us, and this by vindication, that we're into the voice, that we are already Easter, we are already resurrection. For Christ our life has appeared, and is not our living, but is His living, which we know to be true. Because He is that tree of life in our midst, and we are coming to Him at this hour with healing in His wings, having risen over us into the place of immortality. We appreciate that, Lord. And we recognize that now as we feast on Your Word this morning may be a time of rich blessing, because this is the first part of the events of the rapture, and already we are into the first two. So we know, Lord God, the gathering has taken place around Your Word, the message, and those coming in will come to that carcass, the soma, the healthy word of Almighty God, bringing us into immortality. We appreciate that. May we feast this morning, therefore, by divine revelation with Your help. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, now we're going to go to the third message on the, does God change His mind about His word? And as we go into message number three, we must be aware that this sermon preached by Brother Branham, which was a teaching session devoted to this specific particular subject, is not going to be different from all the other sermons or subjects wherein he held us to the word's true revelation or meaning, which he gave us by vindication. Now, you'll notice in every single message, and it became clearer and clearer that Brother Branham was that he once sent to bring us the revelation, which is, of course, in the book of Acts, the third chapter, telling us that at the end time, just prior to the literal physical return of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be a revival. And Brother Branham positively identified that as a revival in which God placed him when the true ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ came forth, the days of the Son of Man, indicating and vindicating it was a true healing revival. Then it tells you positively that Jesus himself cannot come. He will still be retained in the heavens. He can't come, even though it would appear that positively he must come, but he can't come until, first of all, there's a restoration, which is by Elijah, which is a restoration of the Word. Now, of course, when you talk about restoration of the Word, you're not going to go back to the whole beginning and take the whole Bible all the way through, because a great deal of that is history. And the Word of God is passed away on the grounds it already was fulfilled. So you can't re-fulfill the fact Jesus being born again and many things. You've got to come to the place where we're at. And so the word restored is going to be literally the word of this hour, which is a true revelation of it. So this message is not going to differ from the rest of them. There's no way it can. Now, right, also, furthermore, there is no subject or treatise set forth by him that does not apply to this hour. That's already, I mentioned that, wherein he himself is vindicated to be the prophet Elijah, and therefore the prophet restorer of the word. And you'll find that Brother Branham in this message is no different from every other message. He brings that out continuously, so that actually you're hearing maybe 80% of his entire content of his discourses will be bringing you to the understanding of the prophet messenger Elijah in this hour, restoring the word which is the shout, and it vindicated to be so. And there is never any wavering or leaving his ministry of the declaration of the presence of the Lord God, who is Spirit, and through him, that's William Branham, this Spirit is revealing that presence of Almighty God, and with it the great mysteries, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, which takes us to verse 23 also, and which ends in the rapture and the wedding supper. And you'll notice that the Spirit, as Brother Branham said in Daniel 70th week, in one other place, I forget where it is now, but anyway, he mentions that Spirit comes in our midst and tells us the hour in which the church is living, revealing the deep secrets and mysteries of God. And then he says, concerning that, he said, that Spirit that's in our midst, and that's that Spirit, that wasn't there for the wind-up, but is here now for the wind-up. That Spirit will become incarnate to us. And at the time of the incarnation, that will be just before the wedding supper, that's the time you crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that will be the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of God. It'll be the altogether lovely, the lily of the valley. It'll be, in other words, you're going to see the complete Godhead incarnated, God himself in that body which we have called the Lord Jesus Christ, which is head of the church in the physical form. Now, since according to Matthew 24, there is a separation of church and bride by the prophet and false prophets, which two are presenting different words entirely, he invariably goes back to the Genesis worshiping and separation by Cain and Abel, and that was the one had a revelation, one didn't, and then goes to the end, which is our day. In this particular message, he has started to deal with Cain and Abel, and then Moab and Israel. He sort of seems to drop Egypt as typing Babylon, and now he goes into Moab as typing the World Church Council. So in this particular message, he has started to deal with Cain and Abel, and then Moab and Israel. And here we learn that Moab and Israel are but the extensions of Cain and Abel. They're simply extensions. You're not looking at anything different from what started back there in worship. You're not looking at anything different from what you see in the time of the Tower of Babel. Indeed, you are looking absolutely at going even back further to the Garden of Eden, wherein there was the revealed Word of God, which was then turned down through the intervention of the imposter, Satan, who wanted to receive worship for himself and supplant God, and did so by a falsification of the Word. And remember this, as long as you live, Satan can do nothing but pervert. He doesn't have even a word. Satan does not have a word of his own. Why? Listen, it's common sense. If he wants to supplant God and he wants to take worship, he is going to have to bring a confusion based upon God himself and the Word of God itself. He's not going to come and say, I'm Satan and I've got a word. The first thing he said to the beast was, the serpent, he said, yea, hath God said? So Satan doesn't have a word of his own. As Brother Branham constantly told us, what is a lie, the truth perverted. So what you're looking at is never white and black. Now you've got to learn that there is a white. But if you're kidding yourself that there is a black, hey, you've missed the boat. So Brother Branham said there's no white blackbird. That is true when you are looking at sources. But when you're talking religion, you are looking at white and gray. See, that's the whole thing. Now I say, well, what about what the heathen has? And way back, well, you could say that could be a black if you wanted to, but I doubt very much, because every single thing has its origin in truth. Because how do you have a counterfeit Or how do you have a hybridization unless there's something to fall from? Whatever you'd fall from, as Brother Branham says, spoken word is original seed. So you go back always understanding that this everything that Brother Branham mentions, all the history of the Scripture and all, has to do with a perversion. And so in this particular message, he has started to deal with Cain and Abel and then Moab and Israel. And here we learn that Moab and Israel are but an extension of Cain and Abel, or ecumenism and separation. See, and always you're going to find to come out from among them. And that starts back in our Christian heritage, particularly as we go back to Abraham. Now, there's a lapse in there. The scripture, Genesis, doesn't tell us too much. It doesn't need to tell us everything. You don't have to know every single thing about a car before you drive, or even about driving. I don't care how fastidious you are about picking up a manual on driving a car. You just try to suddenly bring into play what you learned about a car when it goes into a skid on a slick road. There's only one thing can teach you that, and that's experience. In other words, you got to get into it. So if we don't understand anything between the flood and Abraham, you don't necessarily need to know, because you see, what already was going on there is the process of election. So God bringing out by foreknowledge out of one lump. And that's where the Bible takes you. It doesn't have to take you any further back. You know it's already been going on, because when God created, there has been no further creation. Then later on, you get back into Moses where there's a bit of a creation. But you notice the creation that has gone on there is not an original creation. It's already based upon the fact there already were fleas and flies and a lot of other things. So you see what I'm saying? Once you get the picture and you have an authenticated, vindicated prophet showing you these things, you just fall right in line with it if you're seen. And if you're not seen, you're going to have your own ideas. So, Brother Dale, where do my ideas come from? Well, if you can't figure it out, I'm not going to tell you. It's the devil if you can't figure it out. Say, man, you're tough and uncouth. No, I got a nice, sweet, gentle spirit this morning, so don't think I'm tough and uncouth. I'm just telling you the truth. I've got to live by it. I'm not up here to say, now, you people live by it, and I don't have to live by it because I've got a special measure of grace. That would be a terrible thing to tell you that, and you to believe that. See, Brother Branham didn't have that. Paul never had that kind of an attitude, and I don't think you can have any of the true Spirit of God and have an attitude like that. Now, thus on page 16 in paragraph 78, he sets forth a spiritual principle from the Word of God, Cain worshiped through carnal or human sense reasonings, whereas Abel worshiped by spirit mind revelation, which Paul sets forth, bringing it together, showing it, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So we went there the other day to get the perfect picture. And believe me, it is a perfect picture. And notice what it says. It says, now, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, you notice in here that this man is setting the congregation, even by epistle, he's setting them up. And by that I mean he's letting them know exactly where he's coming from, and he's not out to do anybody any harm or any injury. He is about to teach them something which is going to have a tremendous pressure and bite upon them. In other words, he is using a 4x4 made out of sandwich bread, rather than a baseball bat that's made out of ash and drilled and loaded with lead. That makes a very, very good weapon, as you well know. Not that this is not more powerful than the cudgel, the shillelagh. It's much more powerful. It's in the form of bread, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. In other words, a crucified lamb, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. And I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now there you are. He said, I am a spiritual-minded man. I am a spiritual man. I have been face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he was meek upon earth, I am meek also. But I want you to know something. As he could stand there and challenge the critics and prove that he was what they weren't, and that he was authoritative wherein they were not, do not think for one moment I cannot do the same thing. A Sherman tank acting like a butterfly. But the butterflies always want to act like Sherman tanks. The less a man has, the cockier he is. The less a man has, the mouthier he is. The less a man has, the more he wants to show off that he is really somebody. He is all right. But he's in the wrong camp. He's in the right camp, really, but he wants to make you think he's in the right camp. I remember years back I talked to Don Hockenberry, and there was a certain man I said, hey, and I kind of was quizzical in my attitude toward Don. I mean, with Don, not toward Don, but with Don. And I said, say, is that guy in the message? He says, not as much as he'd like to make you think he is. That's what these guys were. Now, Paul says, we don't walk according to the flesh, for though we walk in the flesh, naturally, physically, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They do not start within me. What I have is a human being, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now he's telling you right there that he has something that will stand right before the white throne of Almighty God, and don't mistake it. That is known as vindication. Vindication does not make you cocky and almighty. It does not make you where you have to beat anybody over the head. It is simply you say, look, this cannot be performed through natural means. It is only God and God alone. And if a man takes an attitude then of superiority or any authority over the people, because the authority lies in the vindicated word, that person is not of God. And if he is, he'll repent and change his ways. Because lordship belongs to the Lord, and the obedience is to the word. And as I spoke this morning concerning foot washing and communion already, I don't have one thing to do with it. And I'm not interested just to have somebody drink at a cup and spill a little water, and pat a little water in somebody's feet. I don't have one thing to do with it. But I'm here to declare it and help anybody who wants help. Now, if you don't want any help, hey, there's nothing anybody can do for you this late in the day. See? And there's no excuses anymore. So, well, I've been drinking out of a cup that's been filled up by Satan. What has that got to do with this? See, there's where I get intolerant and indignant at people's attitudes. Because I went all through that years ago. It's done. Fat under. A corpse that isn't buried merely causes trouble. We're not eating off a corpse, the toma. We're on to the soma. See? So Abel worshiped by spiritual mind revelation, not carnal human reasonings. And remember, he said, cast down reasonings. The word in the King James is imagination, but it's wrong. It's reasonings. And remember, reasoning is imagination. Because from what you see here, you could only imagine. But what you see there, there is no longer any imagination. It's face to face with reality. Now, we're going to take some time this morning because, hey, you know how I do Brother Branham's sermons. I take it like a page out of the Bible. And so when I find something that is intriguing to me in the sense that it's spiritual, spiritually interesting and elevating and makes you look into the mysteries of God, then, of course, I like to spend time on it because we're in no rush. As I say, every single sermon of Brother Branham's has just one great focus to it. And as we go, it's like if you took a complete study of justification. By the time you got finished, you'd have covered everything in the Bible. If you took a complete study of sanctification, you could never get there without mentioning justification. And what's the use of being sanctified if you don't know where you're sanctified for? So pretty soon, that's covered the whole Bible. Then you go to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Oh, how could you possibly cover that without not covering the whole Bible? So we even had one sermon of Brother Branham's. We don't have to worry about moving to the next and moving to the next. You'll find that the Holy Spirit is faithful to bring everything to your remembrance, even from the subconscious. Of all the tapes you heard, of all the sermons, you are not left alone with it. Even the Holy Spirit inside you is praying for you, and you can talk to the Holy Spirit to pray for you. You're thoroughly integrated. And oh my, may the Lord help us as a people to get thoroughly integrated with each other. As we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us. That's the secret of being freed from your pessimisms and your pressures and your weights, because all of those come actually from us rubbing shoulders and elbows with each other. But if you come to the United Tie Post of the Word, as Brother Branham said, how can you not love each other when you're all bound by this Word? How could you not? How could you? You can tell right away where the people are that are that are off base. Sure. There's not enough Word in them. You get enough Word, you're like little children. And that's the way it should be. Carnal. Flesh or by senses. Now, where is Paul coming from when he comes to chapter 10 in 2 Corinthians? And he said, now the trouble is that you haven't given up your humanistic approach your sensual approach, and the word sensual is not necessarily sexual. It's sensual means concerning the five senses. We have a sixth sense, which is a faith sense, which was lost in the garden. We got it. We're coming back to it. We come back to it by the Holy Spirit, is what we do. And the Word becomes real, the life and the Word now coming through us. He said, now you cast down those reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now what is the high thing that he's talking about? Knowledge. Now where is knowledge? Knowledge is in the mind, which is the receptacle. The natural receptacle of knowledge is the brain. We know that. And so therefore the Spirit has everything to do with the mind, information-wise, which goes into the brain. And the brain cannot help itself. There's no way it can, because the 8th chapter of Romans tells us that. It's the enemy of God. There's nothing you can do about it, so don't try to. The thing is to throw it down, step on it, kick the guts out of it, so to speak. Ride roughshod over it. Say, well, the Bible says so.
I don't care what the Bible says.
Well, I do care what the Bible says. See, that's where Cain got involved. I don't care what it says. I'll just take this and this. Well, Abel says, I do care. See? So, in the one place, you've got that which cares for the senses, the human thinking, and the other, where it knows that that's fallible, because when you die, it's over, it's finished. All people think they come back, but nobody's ever proved that. Simply can't do it on the little evidence that they think they have. So you've got to look at what is eternal, and you only know what is eternal because there's vindication. How can anybody ever, after reading the Gospels, after reading the life of Moses and the great prophets, how can they ever get away from vindication? But they've done it. Israel did it. By the time Jesus came on the scene fully vindicated, they said, crucify him. And when Paul came in the same footsteps, absolutely vindicated, stood right there like a red kid this morning and said, hey, I'm telling you, the sweet spirit of Jesus Christ, I'm vindicated. When I stand behind you, up in front of you rather, I hope you don't call my bluff, because I'll murder you. And I'll do it so sweetly. And I haven't got any, I'm not angry at you. I'm not trying to grind an axe. I'm not trying to put myself forward. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just going to stand there with, thus saith the Lord. Now you come and you do it. Now, I got a book on, some say, the thunders by a man named Pritchard, and I think he's a wonderful man of God. He's an Anglican or something, I guess, in England. Brother John sent me the book, because it has to do with people I know personally. And I want to tell you something. That book is full of lies. You say, Brother Vale, how do you know? Because I talked to the kingpin, and I know him desperately well, what's in that book. And it ain't so. And they're building the whole Word of God, Trinity and everything, upon this man that says, and I love the guy, but honest to God, let me tell you something. I can love a man and know he's phony as a $3 bill. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, how come some of you women sitting here, but for the grace of God, would be wrapped up with a phony, whoremongering jackass that would beat you and destroy you? But he's so subtle with his... Brother Branham said he's cute little feet. Gee. Because he's a con artist and a seducer. And you could be 100% taken in by him except for the grace of God. And don't tell me that's not the truth, because our granddaughter is 100% that way right today. And he can slap around or anything. See, I let my hair down. Well, you ain't got the guts to don't talk about family or anything up here, because nothing is sacred except this Word. You think it can't happen? Psh. Now, Paul here in the first book of Corinthians, he says, grace be unto you in peace, the third verse, the first chapter, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Now notice what can happen, the enrichment, so that you have the perfect balance of the knowledge and the utterance, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now these people here didn't only see, they appreciated the reality of vindication, knowing that they were face to face with God. And Paul explained it. He said, I'm an ambassador. I face him. I face the king. You don't. But believe me, the message that he gave me for you, you got it. So you, by proxy, are face to face. So when we talk about 1 Corinthians 13, the veil has been lifted and it's face to face. It is done by proxy because there isn't any other way. Now, come on, Deuteronomy 18. Israel wanted it that way, they got it. He said, they've spoken well. From now on, I'll speak by a prophet. From now on, they will not see me, they will not hear me. They're going to have to go through a man. And the Catholic Church says, okay, I'm the man. And so they elect the guy, and he said, I'm the great one. There's no doubt he's a great one. But he's no vicar of Jesus Christ. Any more than a bunch of stupid Protestants can get a conclave or a synod or something and vote in a group of men to take over. When God came down and these people I'm talking about know it, in the form of human flesh, there wasn't anybody that voted him in. He came and proved who he was. And let the Pope prove it. He can't prove anything. I think this fellow's going to die. But the next one no doubt will prove it. Not as though I'm prophesying. But somebody shortly is going to have to prove that he is the great one, the devil. Just the same as Judas was. Now, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord, which is the apocalypse, the revelation. Now tell me, what did the gift age, which is latter rain, bring forth? It brought forth the revelation. Because at the time of the latter rain, the former rain falls, which is the teaching rain, as in the beginning, not month. The word month is not in there. It's Alpha and Omega principle, that Omega repeats Alpha. And what did you see? At the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, his vindication, like every prophet, was based upon the fact that he could prove that he was a prophet. See, that's your picture of your latter rain. The manifestation of gifts. And then at that time, Jesus began to teach. And Paul came to establish the Corinthian church, I mean the Gentile church, because he had to do it, because that's in the Word of God, the promise to Abraham, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So Paul had to come on the scene, and he was 100% vindicated. I showed you here in Corinthians. I can show you in Romans. I can show you in Thessalonians. I can show you all through the Bible that Paul was vindicated. So at the end time, Paul said all the gifts, and the gifts completely manifested at the end time, turn into chaff because the life goes out of them because they turn down the Word. Now they have the Word right for the gifts restoration. But they didn't have it for the Word restoration. That's got to take a prophet. Anybody knows that would have to be. Because for years they've been saying, I got this, I got this, I got it all. My heavens, you've got people that dress in a stupid kind of a hat and robe and say they got it all. They got nothing. Don't tell me they have. The light went out under Simon Menom just hundred years ago, the light went out. Revival doesn't last more than 3 years. So how do you know? A prophet said so. How does he know? Well, he talked to the devil or read some encyclopedia by you goofballs. That's meant to be sarcastic because it is sarcasm. Prophet God, thus saith the Lord. He's got thus saith the Lord. He said, the calendar 7 years out. How come? A man wrote him and asked him. He wrote back. He told me. It's not 1991. It's 1998 if you want to know the truth. It is the truth, too. Got to add 7 onto 1? Yeah. I may make a mistake. Correct me on that, Russell. I can make a mistake anywhere here, but God never makes a mistake. Now, it says here, at the time of the unveiling, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm unto you the end, that you might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word blameless has got to be the same thing that's concerning the elders. I didn't look it up, but it's got to be. Which means you know the conditions and how to parry the blow that you can take it and you're not going to get flattened. Now it says right here that the apocalypse is that which confirms you unto the day. So therefore the apocalypse is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ is not the rapture. It's got to come before the rapture. It's got to come after the gifts. It's got to be a revelation. And when it does, it has a power in it so that you are not going to be deceived. Oh, this is exactly what Jesus said concerning his presence. What is the sign of your presence? He said, false prophets, false prophets, false prophets. So now it tells you which side you're going to get gathered on. Are you going to go with Abel? Are you going to go with Israel? Are you going to go with Moab? Or are you going to go with Cain? Now you got your pick. It's Cain and Balaam and Korah in that order. You can go after the devil and you can be a wage earner. You can serve God for what you're going to get out of it, so to speak. Be ecumenical and end up with the false prophets because that's the last one mentioned. Cain, Balaam, Korah. Oh, I got something else to mention. Oh, get out of here. Can't you read the Bible the way it's written? It puts them in that order. So that's the order it's supposed to be in. So this bunch, he's selling you here right now. Look, I'm telling you, at that time, you will be able to make it. You'll be confirmed to the end. And remember, it's Paul's gospel that makes the difference. Now, everybody, the church has been arguing for thousands of 2,000 years of what Paul said. So, all right, we're going to have to either bring Paul back from the dead or get the same Jesus on the scene that talked to Paul. Well, Paul ain't coming back. Well, you see, Brother Bill say, isn't. Well, Paul isn't coming back. He can't come back. So who's going to come on the scene? The pillar of fire. You say, well, Brother Bill, aren't you carnal just going ahead and using your reasoning? No, I'm speaking from the Bible. This is what the Bible said, how it was done. Then this is the only way it can be done. So put that down. I'm not reasoning, although reasoning is allowed under righteousness, as Paul said. In other words, you look at it and you say, well, what is the real truth? And if your mind's of God, you'll come to the Word. And remember, God's Word can't change. God cannot change. And the way He does things cannot change. That's Ecclesiastes. That's the Revelation. That's the Bible. I am the Lord, I change not. Your sons of Jacob were consumed. The Jacob children haven't got a prayer if God were to change. Not going to change His mind, His ways, or anything else. Now He said, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship. Unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, that goes back to the very beginning. Now I beseech your brethren by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to watch. That you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you. Now listen, if they all spoke the same thing, the only divisions would be, I like pie made out of apples and you like one made out of mincemeat. Or you'd soon have cheesecake. From that point on, if they said the same thing, The only difference would have to lie in their physical preferences. And you can do that. The Bible says distinctly, if you're coming to Jerusalem and it's too far to bring the sacrifice, you sell the animal or the thing that you were going to sacrifice, no matter what it was, and take the money, and whatever your soul lusteth after, you desire, you can get it for the sacrifice. You know, something you can eat. So if you wanted to wear green clothes, black clothes, you wanted to put a hat on different or clothes on different, that doesn't matter one iota. It's where do you stand in the Word? Because now listen, you've got to bring the mind under. And the bringing of the mind under is only according to the Word of God, not what kind of glasses you wear, unless the Bible speaks of it. Now it does say to women, you can't wear men's clothes, so that takes care of that. And it said to the men, you can't wear women's clothes, that takes care of that. So you see, where the Word is, that's the only thing that counts, but you can go on your way. And if you like sweet things, well, hey man, you're going to eat more sweet things perhaps than you should, but the Bible's not going to send you to hell for it, doesn't condemn you, doesn't do anything about it. You like too many starches, you just get fat, that's all right. Maybe develop something you shouldn't develop. But that's nothing to do with it. It's the Word he's talking about. See? Now, that you be perfectly joined, there be no divisions concerning the Word, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. In other words, you believe the same thing, you're going in the same direction. Well, Brother Ben, I don't know if we're going in this. Oh, for listen, why don't you just can it and listen? If you got the same mind, you're all going to the same place. If you got the same Word by revelation, you all got the same judgment. Nothing is up for grabs anymore. Like the prophet were put into a straitjacket. Because you can't add and you can't take. Now he was in a straitjacket, or in a tube, as he also said, because of the way he had to be in order to receive for you and me. But the minute that we receive the vindicated Word, we are now in a tube or a straitjacket as pertaining to it. How in the world can we have the mind of Christ, which is delineated here in the second chapter, and not be in the same direction, in the same time, yeah, and go to the same place? Impossible. So if a church wants to get anywhere, it better get in the mind of the Word and all come to one mind. Now he said, it hath been declared of me, unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. In other words, there's arguments and things going on, and one refuting the other. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Now watch. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of you can call Stephanus or Stephanus, I don't know what it is, where this accent goes. Beside, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ had made none effect. Now I want to ask you a question. How many people really believe the word of William Branham when they say, I follow Lee Vale, I follow Joe Coleman, I follow this guy, I follow that guy, and he makes them, they make themselves away unto you. Let me tell you something. You ain't got nothing. And if you do have, you better get back and prove it. I wasn't crucified for you, neither was William Branham. Paul absolutely tells them You can have 1,000 instructors, but you've only got one Father, because I, by the gospel, which He alone had the correct revelation, He had begotten them to God. And yet people say, well, I believe Joe Coleman got it. I believe Lee Dale got it. I believe Brother Nibble had it. I believe now Collins got it. And I believe maybe Nick Hughes got it. I believe Billy Paul got it. I believe Joe got it. I believe this guy got it. If you want hogwash, there is no way that you can possibly be a believer in this hour in the Lord Jesus Christ any way than they could have believed in the first age, and that's by a vindicated prophet, and He alone has the leadership. That's why you'll find at all times in every message, I point you right to Jesus Christ and His prophet. Because if you want to follow me, you are stupider than I am, because I'm doing my best. No, I'm not doing my best. I wish I were doing my best to get away from me. I couldn't even do it by suicide, so there's not even any use getting, what's your name, Krikorkian? To help me with the death machine. Kevorkian, when his name is something like that, anyway. All right. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the power of God. Now watch. For it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, what is Paul talking about? He's talking about his relationship to this people, where they have gotten off the authoritative word by looking at people rather than the vindicated authority, which is God. See? Now, these people have become carnal. They're reasoning. They're fussing when messing around when they shouldn't be. They should go right to the word that Paul gave and say, look at it, by vindication, and that's all there is to it. Now look to the word of God. And if you got a question, go to the prophets. That's the Bible. We're the children of the prophets. Now, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now he's talking about these guys here with divisions. One says, I'm a Paul. Which is fine. If you go back where Paul took them. Now I said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, well, I want you to understand, I'm preaching the cross, and the cross was crucifixion. And Paul meant, listen, I'm dead, I've stepped aside. If God's going to do anything, let God do it. I'll just stand by and watch Him. And if you can use me, hallelujah. Now, Paul came in the meekness of Christ, which was, listen, not trying to bulldoze anybody. Once in a while I try to bulldoze people, but not really, because I learned years ago, I bulldozed one guy, and I said, never again by the grace of God, because he was the bulldozer. And I knew I had to hit him where it hurt. And like a fool, I bulldozed him. Never again. I don't care what you do. You do it on your own, kid. But just don't do it around me. You know what I mean? Hey, give me some kind of a break. Now, Paul is talking about these guys with their carnality, using their senses, trying to weave something in that wasn't there, trying to put man on the scene. When man is not on the scene, he's off the scene. Christ died to put man off the scene and God on the scene, then his death is 100% useless unless God is on the scene and man is off the scene. Well, that's grace. That's where the faith lies. And he says right here, I'm going to destroy all this that you guys are doing and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Now, the wise is a man that can handle the scripture. That's the prophets and apostles and all those guys. What's a scribe? He's simply a man that can write it. Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolishness, made foolishness the wisdom of this world? In other words, when you come face to face with reality, thus saith the Lord, by vindication, everything else is up in smoke. And I don't care what you try to do about it. You've got to go back to that prophet, because that's God to you. Now, come on, let's understand that. Now, For after they had in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What preaching? You think all kind of preaching is going to bring in? There's only one kind of preaching. That's the preaching of the cross. In other words, where God is highly exalted in a way that man would never believe he would be exalted. So where are the Jews today? Reaping what they did 2,000 years ago and still sobbing as though Isaiah 53 is written about the Jews, and they're, you know what they're doing? They're waiting for the Messiah to save them, and then by them the world will be saved. Hogwash! That's Catholicism. That's the biggest bunch of crud I've heard in my life. God going to save by you? You ain't worth nothing. Not even a whole bunch of put together. And I'm the worst of the worst. If you knew my heart, you'd likely agree with that. Okay? Preaching what? The truth. Now I ask you a question. If the world rejects the wisdom of God, how many people are really going to be born again? 8 people made the ark. Never forget that in this church as long as you live. Whether I'm with you or not, never forget my words. I bring them up to you all the time. Billions now living will die. And the foolish virgin is called unholy and ungodly and wicked in the sight of God. In spite of the fact they're nice people who make it to the white throne by being nice to people and good and kind. Let us sink in this morning. You know these sermons keep getting tougher year by year, week by week, and they get clearer and clearer too. Just what Brother Branham said is supposed to happen. It happens here. It's got to happen here. It's not the Word of God. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after it. Now listen, the Jews require a sign. That in itself is not devilish. It's only when you stand back and say, now just a minute, I'm going to ask for the sign that I want. We don't have a right to ask God for anything unless God said we can have it. And even when we can have it, there are rules laid down. Well, these people here didn't want to go God's way, so the Jews said, we want our own sign. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you better read your gospel, because when they said, well, these signs are very good, but we'd like our own sign. He said, you stinking bunch of hypocrites. I had the word stinking in there, but I'm sure they smelled, because the Bible talks about odious things. Stench in the nostrils of God. So I'm right on target, but I'm muddling a couple of scriptures in there, which is no big problem. And the Greeks' wisdom. What is there? What is the wisdom of the Greek today? Our church doesn't believe that. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. What is Christ today being preached in his revelation? Well, you know what he is? He's the devil. Yeah, this is the devil. We're deluded. You know, strange. But them which are called both Jew and Greek, the Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wise in men, the weakness of God is strong in men. For you see your calling, brethren, how many wise men after the flesh, mighty after are noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and things that are despised. But God has chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. In other words, you cannot any way, at any time, think of anything in your skull, in your best intentions, in your greatest integrity, in your finest, what you might think, flawless wisdom and uncorrupt heart, that you may think something will stand before God unless your thinking is the revealed word of God, you are sunk. Right here it tells you. No flesh is going to glory. So carnal knowledge, carnal worship is 100% out. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, even righteousness, even sanctification, even wisdom, that according as is written, he the glory, let him glory in the Lord. Now watch. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And he's telling right here, people, what he's saying is, let go and let God. Remember that old saying, let go and let God. And another saying is, God will pull you through if you can stand the pull. So the guy said, one fellow was screaming on my left hand, let go, and the other guy was screaming on my right hand saying, hang on. What does it mean? It means just what it says here. Don't have a thing to do with yourself and hang on to God's word. Don't even waste your time on anything that you yourself are evolving, even by the word of God. Here, you got to go there where the vindicated revelation is. Now, Paul, watch what he says. And when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom. I didn't sit down and argue. I wasn't a guy like Irenaeus who could, bat heads with the Gnostics. He said, no way. I didn't waste my time on that, declaring unto you the testimony of God, which God raised him from the dead. See, the Christ. But I determined not to do anything among you, save Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And watch. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, God backing his own word to prove. Paul proved it wasn't his word. God proved it was God's own word. And that's exactly where it stands. But you know, people don't believe that. People don't believe it. They cannot see the pattern of prophets. But you know, I'm not going to get mad at those guys because you know, you've heard me preach, some of you folk, for roughly 25 years since Brother Branham passed off the scene. Some of you have. People right in this congregation have heard me over these 25 years, and you know that I never preached with this clarity 25 years ago. You know it's getting clearer and clearer all the time concerning God and his word and his prophets and vindication and these things I bring to you. And yet they've been clear as crystal for 2,000 solid years since they're written. All you got to do is look at it. But you see, when you start looking at it from what was given the prophet, it's a whole new concept. Certainly I couldn't preach this way 25 years ago. I realized it was there. But to realize it as I know now and put it in words is a different story. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. Your faith stands in perfect vindication, which is perfect faith. The man that brought that stood there and he said, if God told me to raise Abraham Lincoln, I would go and raise him or let the armies of the world shoot me down. In other words, he said, you can bring on the United Nations. You can bring on the same number of troops that went against Iraq with 119 nations represented and 99 nations having men there. Bring them on, let them shoot me down. Shoo, you talk about calling the world's bluff. Why don't you shut up? If it weren't for the strength of God, you couldn't even brush your teeth. You know, you people just don't see where man's wisdom goes to? Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, full grown, mature. You know what? We're only coming to that maturity when Melchizedek can be revealed to us. And yet the wisdom of this world, and yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world, that came to come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's the same thing today, because they crucified themselves afresh the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Because remember, he has to come down with the fan in his hand and separate. That's the Bible. That's Matthew chapter 3. That's Malachi chapter 4. You can't get away from it. The Bible runs in continuity. But as is written, I have not seen nor heard in the heart of man the things of God written in the loving. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That identifies God with his Spirit. He's one Spirit. He's not two or three spirits. He's one. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak, not in words of man wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And there you are right now. You cannot let your mind come into a revelation. That's why they went haywire in Europe under this great famous guy that's now a doctor. Her doctor, hell of doctor. Dr. Swinehart, without a doubt. No doubt. Oh, he said Brother Branham made 57 mistakes. That's a pickle factory, not Brother Branham. You got man hasn't got a clue. It tells you right here, if that vindicated revelation comes and it centers on the cross, shut your mouth and listen. And if it centers on revelation at the end time, then shut your mouth and listen and don't ask questions. So I got to ask a question. I asked Brother Branham very few questions. His presence was something like the presence of God. Presence of Christ. God in Christ on earth. They durst not ask questions. I asked very few. We seldom talked issues which were... We had a dissent one to the other concerning. On the baptism we did, the evidence of the Holy Ghost, we both ended up wrong. He was wrong, I was wrong. God showed him. The minute God showed him, I said, that's it, that's it. And I didn't know I said, that's it. One day I went going down the road, I said, what did I say, that's it for? I don't know. He didn't give me one bit of scripture. Like a sarcastic voice said, because I'm sarcastic, God treats you the way you treat him. A sarcastic voice said, why didn't you look in the Bible? It's full of it. And I said, I got so tickled. I said, I'll do that. I didn't get mad. I thought it was a good joke on me. I enjoyed the joke. The Bible's full of it. So when I saw Brother Branham next time, I said, Brother Branham, man, I said, when you said the baptism of the Holy Ghost evidence was receiving the word for the hour, I said, I rejoice. I said, I know that's true. But I said, you know what? He said, thank you, Brother Vail. I said, yeah, appreciate it, see? I was laying a trap for him. He wasn't in the right mood to get it. I said, yeah, but he didn't give me any scripture. Could you do it? I hit him so quick, he couldn't think. He said, can't think of it right now. I said, you mind if I tell you something? He said, please do. I just rattled him off. Well, he sat there and grinned. You know, a prophet doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't have to run to the Bible like you and me. He is the Bible. In his own limited way, God manifested in flesh for this hour. You know, people don't like things like that. But you say, well, you're God manifested. Oh, yeah. You know, simper, myself. I could say something a little off color there, but it's a true story, but I won't. It illustrated the case perfectly, but I told you I'd be nice, you know, today, so I'm going to be nice. Wait for the punchline. See? Comparing spiritual to spiritual, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, what is he talking about? Word. The revealed plan of God, the absolute Rhema into Logos. For Rhema Logos has got to be a hyphenated thing. It can't be otherwise. Don't anybody ever tell you. If you see Logos without a Rhema, forget it. And if there's a Rhema that isn't produced in a Logos, forget it. Right? Right. Thank you. Hope you caught it. Now, the natural man cannot receive it. And they become foolish to him. Yeah, I could tell you some stories, but I'm done now. We haven't got time. they neither can know them because they're spiritually discerned. They don't have the Holy Ghost. But he that is spiritual, got the Holy Ghost, judges all things. And yet he himself is judged to no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And Paul right there said you could have 1,000 instructors, but you've got one Father that begot you, and I am that person. And remember, if you are a true son of God, and there's a true teacher there, pastor, whatever he is, there'll be a complete union with the Word as given vindicated. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as a spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither yet now can you do it. See, that he couldn't tell him Melchizedek and things like that. For are ye not yet carnal? For whereas there is among you envying. Now see, envying. Jealousy.
What did Brother Branham said caused the death of Cain, of Abel? Jealousy. What was it when Moab turned on Israel? Jealousy. Why did the Egyptians hate Israel? Jealousy. Why did the devil rise up against God? Jealousy. People won't let you carry the ball when you're ordained to do it. You see, it's right from the top down. It comes from the top down. Envy. Put it away. Don't be jealous of anybody. Strife, divisions. Aren't ye carnal walking as men? See, what did this? They were off the word. They didn't listen to the typos, William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, God to the people. Oh, no, somebody raised up. What's this guy? Yeah, I won't mention. I'm too nice this morning for my own good. Anyway, he got up in the pulpit and he said, if Brother Branham were here, he'd admit that he was wrong and I was right. And he's the guy that had the dream of being on that little white horse behind Brother Branham. And the white horse came back and then he said, Brother Branham, where are you? And Brother Branham was gone. Brother Branham called him a dreamer. I think I might call him a nightmare dreamer myself from some of the stuff he's pulled off. His women wearing slacks and everything else. Chopping off their hair, talking in tongues in a meeting. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Where do you get this stuff against the prophet? See? Now, here, your carnality. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Now watch. But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I had planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Now listen, let's put that with William Branham and a true fivefold ministry. Now I don't know that I'm a true fivefold minister, except Brother Branham said you and I got were just alike. I thought, well, that's pretty nice. He said I was seed. He said you'll be back because you're seed. So I take the word of the prophet that I'm a true seed of Almighty God and therefore a true teacher. And let me tell you something. As he taught the vindicated word of God, I am one with that prophet, and I will teach that same word because Christ is not divided. Now that's a chance you've got to take on me. I could be lying to you. You don't know. Want to bring your pendulum and see if I'm telling the truth? Want to feel my pulse? Give me a stress test. Won't do any good because all I got to do is to self-hypnotize myself and believe it. Then I'll speak the truth and it's a lie. It'll be a lie. Stress, voice stress won't do it. Blood pressure won't do it. If the helmsman of this boat, and I've got to take that position in the teaching ministry here, if I'm steering you down a dark, narrow path, kid, that's where you're going with me. That's why I keep saying, look, don't look to me. You look to God and weigh these words and see if I'm with this message or not. It's the only hope you've got and I've got. Although Brother Branham did say things to me and I believe them. Why should I not believe them? So then neither he that plants anything or he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Gives the increase of what? The life within the word as God's planting in human beings because he said, you are God's husbandry. What's husbandry? Farming. Agriculture. Right, Greg? Yep. So you're God's little animals. God's agriculture, God's plants, God's flowers. What from? Peter said it. Being born again, not a corruptible sperma, but of the incorruptible spora. See, the flowers of God, the planting of God, the wheat seeds. Aren't you called wheat in the Bible? Coming out of the chaff? Certainly the life went on. The chaff was necessary. Took everything out for that age. Now it's into the wheat. What proves it's wheat? Days of the Son of Man. The Apocalypse. Proving that is the genuine one that spoke to the Apostle Paul. See? You're God's husband. You're here, right here. So you're, now he said, listen, we're laborers together, Paul and Apollos, with this one word. And a fivefold ministry that believes this message will be laboring diligently with Brother Branham even though he's gone. because it's the Word. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which has given me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, and so on right on down the line. Now, and then he says, again, let no man deceive you. Verse 18, if any man among you seemeth, well, let's see, we could go above that. He's talking about the Spirit of God and the giving of the Word. And so we know that every single thing here has to do with the Word. Another foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He was the cornerstone, now the capstone, and he is the Word. And if any man build upon that foundation, it's got to be word upon word upon word upon word. Every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. When did that take place? It took place right in our hour in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, under discernment. Exactly where the church is, Brother Branham says, I condemn this generation. Later, right out there. The combines have come. The flashing lights of warning are here. It's over. Cannon fodder. I don't pray for America. See? Now listen, why? Because they went off that word. Why do the foolish virgin miss it? Because they don't have the word for the oil. They turned down the word. And the oil leaked out under the gifts. You better be careful about gifts. If you're going to have gifts, you put them right where they belong, or don't have them. Brother Brown said, don't have them if you're not going to do right by them. See? So if any man's work abide, he'd build upon, he'll receive a reward. It means you are one with the Word of God. You're congruent. How can God go against His Word? By you going against His Word and then give you a reward and say, well, that's the building of God. See, the whole thing is based upon word vindication. Don't you understand this morning where you're sitting? Vindicated. You don't have anything to do with it. Faith has nothing to do with anything outside a vindicated word, period. You say, what about the age that didn't have vindication? Brother Branham said, God winked at it. But everybody knows that scripture. He said, you can shake hands, do this and do that, was all right, which is the same thing as winking fingers. But now, that which makes manifest is light, the light has come because it's manifest. If any man work abide, thereupon he's going to receive reward. Now that's reward, it's not eternal life. You're not dealing with foolish virgin here. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself saved is by fire. You could say, well, that might have to do with foolish virgin. I won't argue any point, I'm just telling you, if it's not based upon word, look out. Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? You're talking about word again. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. How do you defile the temple of God? Going against the word of God. What was the first sin? Adultery. What did it? Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness of God, for it's written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. That's the sophist. You know, the kind of smarty pants. He thinks he knows it all. Therefore, let no man glory in men. For all things are yours. On what condition? Word. Whether Paul or Apostle or Cephas. Now, you got to Peter here. Never mind the others. Or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All are yours, and you're Christ, and Christ is God. Now, take that to the 8th chapter of Romans. Don't let us sit right there. Take it to the 8th chapter, and you'll see 100% foreknowledge, election, predestination only. Take this to the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. And it's fully explained. If you weren't in the beginning with representation, you don't have it now. So, all right. Now, Paul goes on. And he's talking about the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. And he's talking about a difference. That God did make people different. But he never made the Word different. It's the one Word that applies to every single thing. And he said, now you're full, in the verse, 8th verse, now you're rich, you've reigned as kings without us. I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. Now how are you going to reign and rule with Christ outside the word? That's how he got his. And that's what he is. For I think then right on down the line. Now notice what it says here in verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. All right, listen, let's understand this. If you're begotten by the gospel, the life being in it, how can you be sustained except by the same life or the same food? You can't do it. If you're a word creature, you've got to have word. See? Cow's milk was never meant for babies. Mother's milk was. That you can say what you want, but evidence absolutely proves it. That's why people here dig them more like cows than they are like people. It's fact. Doctors tell you flat. No, they're not some M.D. out there that's got some stupid degree, M.D., and he's an allopathic physician. All he knows, drugs. You kill like they tried to kill Norman and back off. Good thing Norman didn't sue him. I don't know if I'd have been so nice. I don't know if he's just a nice guy or lazy. Can't tell what it is. They would have killed Norman with their drugs. Yeah, it would kill me too. Kill any of you guys here. You get an infection, they'll load you so full of antibiotics, another bug will come along and kill you. They don't know how to balance out nature. They haven't got a clue. And the poor doctors that try it, which are maybe less than 1%, they ostracize them, tie a tin can on their tail and try to destroy them. But they should get to working. Help them somehow. You know, God's going to take care of the whole thing. Now, see, now Archie said here, I've begun you. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me, because you followed Christ. Now listen, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. You're back to the word again. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. Now here's a perfect picture of Paul absent and coming to the church. It's a perfect picture of Jesus absent and coming to the church and throwing the gauntlet down. The same pillar of fire that brought the word, demonstrating that he was God doing it, vindicated word, is here now doing the same thing. Now who are the puffed up ones? Where is the kingdom of God? Are people talking? I can talk. You can talk. Doesn't mean one thing. Where is thus saith the Lord? Where's the vindication? For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Now he's making an absolute statement here. As Brother Branham made absolute statements. This is an absolute statement. There is no use you talking about the kingdom of God unless there's power. And there was power when Jesus stood there. And they said, what about the kingdom? He said, it's here now in your midst. And you turned it down flat. And when they asked the question again, he said, it's in your midst. And when it does come the next time, you won't recognize it anymore than you recognize it now. You know why? Because they turned down vindication. And when you turn down vindication, brother, sister, you got only one thing left, and that's a carnal mind. And I'm sorry. But that's the truth. What do you substitute for vindication? Nothing I know except gross ignorance. Let's rise and be dismissed. We'll get around Sunday morning to doing the right thing. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your kindness and mercy to us in that you allowed us to be here and go into this word right from the Bible. No, just letter by letter, just dozens of verses, and there isn't one of them that doesn't ring the bell. Of this hour, proving what it's all about. We know what it's all about. It's a word that's vindicated. Lord, we don't pretend to be able to put it all together, but we know there is one God. We know positively there is one man, Christ Jesus, mediator, intercessor between you and us, representing the human race, knowing this truth. That if we weren't in you and in him in the beginning, we aren't now. We don't have representation now if we didn't have it then. That's why we understand the days of the Son of Man. At least, Lord, we believe we understand. We're standing on it. As live, die, sink, or swim, that this is the Bible. And when those people so blandly and so openly said, Bible days are here again, they were merely exactly prophesying the Word of God without even knowing it, telling the truth. There was a recognition there, but it wouldn't go all the way. Lord, I don't believe that, at least I trust I don't believe, and anybody in the building doesn't believe that we've come this far in our recognition and not go all the way. Looking for that glorious day, not of your appearing, but of the consummation of it. Your presence raising the dead and seeing Brother Branham and Paul the Apostle Paul, seeing these great men all come forth, and we are part of it, and changed, structurally, to immortal beings to be caught away to the ineffable glory, to the great wedding supper. My, what a supper that's going to be if we can enjoy things down here. And we do with perverted appetites and jaded and perverted senses of our taste buds. What'll it be like when we get the real heavenly food and the real heavenly bodies that you've ordained to us? What a tremendous time of eating and drinking and coming back and working and singing and building. It's going to be great. But because it's another step of sanctification, of progress going on, going more and more from that little negative to the 100% positive, though we know that that little bit that was in there, that little seed, was the seed of the tremendous and great fullness of the manifestation that lies ahead of us. Help us to believe that this morning, Lord. Doesn't take the big quantity. Doesn't take the ocean. Just takes one drop. And that infinitesimal. No microscope could ever zero in on it and prove anything. For Lord, there's a spirit within us that goes right to vindication. That makes every one of the brides say, if you ever listen, hear the voice say, if you ever listen to anybody, listen to that man. Makes the voice say, that one, was he ever wrong? When did you ever find him? Did he ever make a mistake when he called anybody out or did anything? Look at the record. It's not a record of a man. There's no way a man could do that, as the prophet himself said. A man can't do that. God doing it. And Lord, if God's doing it, we know that you're speaking, you're drawing us, you're bringing us to something. Just what the Apostle Paul said. So forgive us, Lord, for our unbelief and our reasoning. May they be cast down. Get the head out of the way. With its own thinking and meanderings and unsuccessful conclusions, and not only unsuccessful, but have been diabolical, perverse, harmful. Turn the mind open to the Word of God and rejoice and glory in it until the soul and the whole life is aglow with the glory of the life of God within the Word coming forth in vessels, ready to be received up into glory at the proper time under the proper conditions, which we know to hear now. And by grace, we're part of it. Lord, just with one breath, Lord, blast all unbelief and unfaithfulness, all those things from amongst us. Cleanse our hearts, Lord, and our minds, our souls to the very depth until the body itself tingles as the temple of the Holy Ghost, knowing we're not our own, we're bought with a price. The very bodies we have belong to Him, now in the process of glorification. All these things, Lord, we know they're here. May they now not be drowned out by any other voice, but day after day, moment by moment, more conclusively, perfectly, exclusively, are bound right into that Word. And our thoughts, our minds are full of it until our lives, Lord, somehow, I don't know what all you want for us, but I'm still hoping that they resound to your glory, because we'd like that. To know that not adding to salvation, but we responded to it. What it did for us, not what we could do for it, because we couldn't do anything for it. But that's what I'm looking at this morning, Lord. You know our very heart here, and I believe the hearts beat like mine to that end. So hear our collective prayers. We're one mind this morning. Truly the glory is thine and the honor is thine. Unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, may it all be for you. But may we offer it back to you as discerning children. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray.